May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from, I'm going to refer to my, I'm always amazed at watching preachers who draw things off their iPad or their iPhone. So I'm going to make an attempt at that a little bit today, because it usually creates great confusion for me. But we're going to go after it anyway. And if it doesn't work, I'll just make up some stuff that will sound familiar to what I was trying to read to you. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proving of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, here's my first attempt. We'll see. Yes, thank you, Jesus. This is a statement by Charles Spurgeon. He says, trials teach us where we are in the Lord. They dig up the soil and let us see where we're made of. Over the years, one of the things I've been honest about with people without hanging out dirty laundry is just my own journey, because I think it's relevant to where other people are. And there's a real tension when you are a leader, when you share about your journey, because one, you want to encourage people through transparency to know that they're not by themselves and being imperfect, but the other time you don't want to discourage them thinking, how can I follow this leader when he seems to be so imperfect? So I'm going to take a shot and risk again today. Over the years, the biggest thing I ever struggled with, and what captured me into mental illness before when I first gave my life to Christ, was the issue of fear and anxiety. So severe that it created depression. If you're anxious enough, it can cause depression. And that was my greatest breakthrough when the Lord set me free a couple of years into this thing, this journey called the Christian life, and I discovered that there was one who lived in me, who wasn't afraid, who wasn't anxious, who alone could live the Christian life, that I could face everything in light of his adequacy and his ability and not my inadequacy and my inability. But there is, Christianity is a renewing of your mind, and so God just does things in layers, and the Lord does use trials, use testing, to just kind of dig up the things that are on the surface to let us know what's going on under the surface. Some of you are teachers, have been teachers. I know Rosemary is a teacher. And when you give a test to somebody, the test isn't to crush them, humiliate them. You're trying to help them discover and you discover what you know. Have you gotten what you've been taught? So that if you're a good teacher, it's not again to condemn. It's just simply so this is what we need to work on. This is what you need to concentrate on. And that's the same thing when he says testing the proof of your faith. The word there is the genuineness of your faith, where you're actually at in your walk with the Lord. And what I've discovered in my life in the Lord, and your areas may be different. I do think, though, no matter how your personality stewards it, it could be very aggressive or you could be very shy, withdrawn. The original sin involved fear and anxiety and insecurity. They sowed fig leaves, they hid from each other, they hid from God, because the opposite of faith is that. And they were disconnecting their life of faith, and we're learning how to live by faith. And so I discover whenever there is a place of breakthrough, when God's taking me into experiencing this larger room that's mine in Christ, but there are parts of it I've not yet investigated, there's usually a narrowing. I gave somebody a word about this the other day, that the pathway into that experience of the larger space that's already mine, there's usually a narrowing, a constricting, some testing to let me know where I'm at and what I've got to work on so that I can steward where I'm about to go. Because the level of faith that I've walked in this arena, and the terms we used to use when Meg was here was playground in the Lord, is not going to be as effective or adequate for the bigger playground I'm about to move into. And for me, I usually discover I'm having to learn something new in my realm of faith that contradicts anxiety and fear. Just when I thought I've got this thing down, something will come and the Lord will say, you actually didn't pass the test. And it's not to make you feel bad. See, that's what the enemy does. That's what the accuser is. When you're going through something and you're not getting it quite right spiritually, and yet you have all this info. Nobody has more info than our generation. We've been to more conferences than God's been to. I mean, and he's omnipresent. He knows about all of them. He doesn't go to all of them. We run to more conferences, listen to more tapes, listen to some more stuff on YouTube and stuff. And so the accuser comes, and accuses us of being unspiritual, so shallow. But that's never why God allows tests. It always just to show us. If you're going through a test, it's because God wants you to move into a larger space experientially. And he knows that the faith level you're walking in can't steward that yet. And so he exposes the fear and the anxiety not to make you feel bad, but to say, now, here are the things we need to work on as we move towards this space. You with me? We have such a twisted view of God. We put him in the devil's image. It's just frightening. We do that to each other. And that's usually what happens in my life. And you think that when you get old enough, you're like going, I told Olivia the night, I said, Lent used to be my favorite season. I just want to skip Lent. Next year, we're going to skip Lent. We're going to go straight from Christmas into Easter season and just make it longer. Because Lent's all about narrowing so that things can get bigger. It's never narrowing for judgment. It's just so that he's preparing you for bigger. But I think sometimes I'm content with the lesser because the narrowing can be so difficult. Here's the other quote. This is from one of my old favorite people, and this is one of the reasons I'm glad I'm older, because a lot of people don't know who this person is or was. And this is a lady whose name was Corrie Ten Boom. She said this: worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Or anxiety is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at one time. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It just simply empties today of its strength. Isn't that powerful? And I thought about, and I won't take time to read it, because it's supposed to be short. I thought about the Matthew 6 passage, where 5 different times Jesus is speaking to the SEAL group, his 12. These were the special ops people. These were the cornerstone, the foundation of the church. These were the radical, most fierce warriors. They left everything to follow him. Future, reputation, their jobs, their families for a season. Traipsed around all the countryside with him. And yet, this manual for radical discipleship called the Sermon on the Mount, he speaks to those radical disciples, the special ops people that have given away everything to follow him. And he says to them 5 different times in a short little section, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Can anxiety add anything to you? Seek first the kingdom. How much do you trust God? Do you actually believe you'll just seek first the kingdom? He'll add all that stuff to you? Because what he says is basically, you can't go after that and go after me at the same time. Can't do both. So if you'll go after me, if you'll go after righteousness and kingdom first as a priority, Can you dare to believe that God will add all these other things, take care of all the natural stuff on the outside without you being anxious? Because you being anxious doesn't do anything. It doesn't help you any. So I just encourage you. If some of you are going through some testing, if you're being restricted, it's not because there's something wrong with you, and you don't seem to be handling it really well at the moment. There are these emotions and thoughts that are happening in you, and you're feeling condemned. Don't be condemned. That's the whole point of the test. To find out where you're at, so you can get you where He wants you to be, so you can experience all that He has for you. Helpful? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.